admit that today's topic is a difficult one, but it is a necessary one. And if you hear passion in my voice, you will understand how important this topic is for me, to love your children well.
Welcome to the Sifted Wheat Podcast with Leslie Lamb, a counselor by profession, a minister of truth, and a lover of people. This is a safe place where she sets a path for others to learn how to move through hard seasons with confidence and grace, encouraging your faith, empowering your choices, and challenging your perceptions through the Word, the wisdom from years of counseling others, and her own experience of being sifted. Here's Leslie.
This is my most desperate petition to love your children well. I wish I could say that this isn't an issue, but sadly it is. I would say that most people think that they are loving their children and maybe they're doing the best they can with what they have. But those insecurities and fears and pleasures often don't communicate healthy love to their kids. In order to get into this conversation, we first have to understand two things about a child's brain. They take things literally, and they don't have the ability to critically think through what someone is doing or telling them without any guidance. There are a few spaces where that matters greatly, but two places that are consistently areas of confusion are sarcasm and assuming that kids should know what is happening and why. They don't. They shouldn't. And you shouldn't expect them to. If you can't tell, if I come off a little feisty, it's because I am passionate about the souls of children. They are the true victims of the world. They can't advocate for themselves or use their voices to affect change or make choices of power to get out of situations that are dangerous or harmful to them. Most of the work that I do in counseling is reaching into the souls of hurting individuals to go in and rescue that child that no one saw, that couldn't speak up, and who didn't understand what was happening, but somehow believed it was entirely his or her fault. Because of that, I know that in sharing this conversation, I'm not only talking to parents who are needing the reminder and guidance of how to love well and safely, but potentially it can provide comfort to the hurting inner child who wasn't loved well to advocate and validate his or her experiences. One thing we know about parenting is it's usually reinforced through modeling. Whether we want to or not, a lot of the time we will pattern our parenting after what we saw and what we experienced. We have very little other context to guide that relationship, which means that we might unintentionally visit the same wounds on our children that we have incurred. Or we might believe that if we just do the opposite of what was done to us, that it'll be better parenting. But as a counselor, I can say, as I have seen, different isn't always better. It's just different. For instance, I remember when I was a kid and I was mad at my parents because I had to clean my room and do chores. More than a few times, I would say, fine, treat me like slave labor, but when I have kids, I will never make them do this. Did I mention my family nickname is Sassy? But despite my attitude and dramatic expression, you know what I did? I made my kids clean their rooms and do chores. Why? Because somewhere along the way, I saw the value in what my parents were doing. And I knew that it would benefit my kids to learn responsibility and to do some work in supporting the well-being and the environment of our family. Did they also think I was being unreasonable at times? Maybe. But unlike my parents, instead of saying, you'll do it because I told you to, I actually explained why I needed them to do their part for the family. So the reason was less likely to be misunderstood or projected in anger. Another space that this shows up in people's stories is from a past of physical abuse. Parents can think it's okay if I yell or reject or belittle because at least I didn't hit them. No, That's not better. It's different. But research shows that emotional and verbal abuse leave far more lingering scars because they're the unseen wounds that reinforce identity that are hardest to heal. Or maybe we've had a history of conflict that created an atmosphere of fear, and so we move in the complete opposite direction and choose passivity and even absence. That creates a lot of confusion, and isolation can bring children into a place of pain and misunderstanding, fearing that they've lost our love and they've lost value because they aren't experiencing the same connection. So what do we do if what was modeled was abusive, dismissive, or neglectful? Who can our model be then? The good news is that God is more than ready and able to fulfill that role. He calls himself Father as a primary title, and Jesus reminded us of his nature and his provision for his children over and over. I've learned in my own life as well as in those that I've counseled that when we allow ourselves to be reparented in love by God, we will begin to use that as the standard by which we parent our own children in love. So what are some ways that I can love my child? Well, there are a couple of things that we can do to express love, and the most important expression of love is positive attention. You know why most kids act out? It's not because they're bad or rebellious. Most of the time, it's because they've been trained that when they act up, they're attended to. Even negative attention is attention. So one way to cut down on discipline problems is to make sure that you're providing attention to your kids all throughout the day. Positive attention, safe touch, engagement, encouragement. I'm sadly only beginning to counsel the forgotten ones of social media and digital devices. And maybe we aren't just scrolling mindlessly distracted because it's so easy to do. And let's be honest, parenting is hard. But sometimes we can even be so focused on capturing memories that we aren't considering our impact. And I can tell you without a doubt, what we do and how we do it and the way we treat our children does impact them. I do not say that to create fear, but to encourage positive engagement. Another way that you can love your children is by being honest with them. Say what you mean and mean what you say. There are two spaces that come to mind where we need to do better. One is don't use threats. First of all, they don't amount to much if you've no intention of following through with it, so why do it? And secondly, kids will believe what you tell them. I had a client one time that was so afraid to get close to her father because he told her that if she didn't stop misbehaving, he was going to take her to the woods and leave her there. Even though he didn't do it, the thought that she might eventually do something that would provoke that response was enough to shut down her vulnerability and her trust with him. He had no idea that she had that fear. In his mind, it was an empty threat with no real possibility of happening. But in her mind, it was a potential threat that brought on anxiety and interrupted her safety. The second place is don't be sarcastic with your young children. They might play it off with you, but internally, they cannot comprehend sarcasm. They can't critically think through what you might mean instead of what you actually said. I remember one time regretfully when my daughter said something that was not the correct answer about the capital of Japan or something like that. Instead of coaching her into the right answer, I popped off sarcastically, and I thought you were the smart one. I cringe even remembering the look of shock and disappointment on her face and the tears that filled her eyes. I didn't know what was happening, and she didn't have the language to tell me what was going on. But later, she shared that it scared her and that it reinforced a need to be smart, and it drove home the fear of imperfection. I hate that. Unfortunately, I didn't have anyone telling me about impact, to help me steward my language in a way that was helpful to her soul and not dismissive or destructive. Another important step in loving your children is not being too proud to apologize and repair bad choices. If you've said something that is hurtful or unkind or a result of a long day or other frustrations, repair that error. There are a few times that I acted out of anger with my daughters and after the fact realized that I could have said or done that better. So I would revisit the moment with them and correct my behavior and listen to their concerns. I would find myself losing my cool and I would tell them that I was putting myself in a timeout with Jesus so as not to react to what was happening, but that I might respond in love. I would make sure that they were in a safe space and had something to occupy themselves and would limit myself to about 5 minutes to gather my emotions and calm my thoughts before I would engage them again. I wish I'd been more consistent with that and had decided to deal with my temper before I had children. But like I said before, I did the best I could with what I had. And unfortunately, some of what I had was anger and fear that came out in my parenting. Ephesians 6:4 reminds us, parents or fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Recently, as I was looking at that, it stood out to me that the directive was to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, which doesn't mean use the Lord as your means of discipline, but rather discipline them as the Lord disciplines and instructs you. If we do that, the way He intends and models towards us, the result won't be anger in our children, but a deeper expression of love. As parents, we are the first representation of God, especially if we're teaching them about Him and His Word. And as that, when we're bitter or angry and unkind or vengeful, guess who gets the rap? Right, God. So the first step in loving our kids well is knowing the one who loves us and calls us His children and point them to Him. Matthew 18:6 issues a warning of punishment by way of drowning to whoever's a stumbling block to one of these children that believe in me, Jesus. That word stumbling block is a Greek word that can also mean offend, entrap, or entice. That's pretty significant. So when we're being warned against stumbling blocks, we could translate that to mean whoever negatively impacts one of these children who believe in me. Ouch. The point is, there are huge consequences for our dismissal of children in society and community. That being said, there's a reason that Jesus interchanges stories of God with shepherds and fathers. He's both. And as parents, we need to recognize the difference between parenting in fear and parenting in faith. Our kids are going to make choices that scare and frustrate us. And the older they get, the more that's going to happen. They're human beings trying to figure out the world around them and their own identities. But if we engage those experiences with fear and control, chances are good that we're going to make huge mistakes. Fear drives and manipulates and coerces. Fear has to be in control and will very often push our children away. But faith leads, it guides and directs, it trusts that there's something bigger at play and someone more powerful than either parent or child. Someone who cares and can intervene. Faith can engage patience and kindness and goodness along with correction and information, because it is the fruit of the Spirit intertwined to bring a deeper intimacy. It is easier to say that than to do that, sure. But when I've let faith lead me in parenting my kids, even my adult kids, it's gone smoother and been much less chaotic and confusing for both of us. So what are some things that you might need to shift around in your life and your priorities to love your children well? Do you need to have a timeout too? Is God trying to get your attention about how you're parenting through your kids? Are they more emotional or more agitated than usual? Are you saying what you mean and meaning what you say? Or are you being snarky with them and then getting mad when they're snarky with you? Remember, they're imitators. Or maybe you need to pause in your correction and lean into them with connection. And most importantly, we all need to lean into faith over fear. The world is going to throw a lot of things at us. Life does that. But when we respond in fear, we can't lead and love the way that we are intended. So, if you've been driving in fear, maybe revisit that conversation. Maybe apologize for being fearful instead of faithful. Faith leads and encourages connection. And if you're using God as a means to punish your children, please stop now. Religion oppresses, but Jesus liberates, and his love always hopes and always endures. So we need to pray more and worry less. After all, they were God's kids first. He can reach them where you can't, and he loves them more than you can even imagine. Obviously, none of these episodes are going to be exhaustive about how we can love those in our lives, but specifically with children, and some of you may be asking, like, well, Leslie, one of the ways that we love our children is by leading them to God and bringing them to church and teaching them to love the word. Yes, 100%. But if we are only doing that, and we are not first representing God in our daily lives, then none of that matters. I see it every day. The kids that are hurt the most and have the most confusion and will walk away from faith are not the ones who were taught to read the word and love the Lord, and that was modeled for them. The ones that struggle the most are the ones that are told all of those things, and yet they did not see their parents walk it out. So yes, I want you to love your kids and teach your kids to love the Lord. But if we only teach them to do what we say and we don't actually model for them what that looks like, then in the end, we're going to leave them with far more confusion and a real threat of losing their faith than if we were just modeling love and modeling how Jesus loved and how God loves and how it continues even when things don't go well, even when things are hard, even when there are stressful things happening in our lives or we have questions. They need to know we can have questions and we can still be safe and we can still be good and we can still turn to the Lord. So yes, absolutely. I want you to show love to your kids by showing them who love is. But we first do that in who we are. So that's the main point that I'm trying to say. And that's the main point that I've learned, not just in my life, but also through years and years of counseling. People are watching us. Our children are watching us more than they are listening to us. And what we do counts far more to impact their lives than what we say. So I hope you're already thinking of ways to love your children and making a plan to do that today. And in the next conversation, we're moving deeper into the family unit and also another means of showing love to your children by love your spouse. Until then, know that God's example always brings connection. It always brings peace, and it always brings a deeper expression of love. So love well.